Inside Chicago Government. ShyGov.com.
Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky. I'm Dave Gloetz. Ben writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader, and I've come here today to be with him. I came over city streets that are newly paved.
Mayor Rahm, I thank you very dearly. He went and paved the streets.
It might have something to do with an election that's coming up.
I think the strategy, if there was one, is to wait to the very last minute so that people forget that they've spent the entire summer and spring dodging potholes.
The contrast is so great now.
We'll be so happy.
Bliss,
and
yeah.
As we've discussed many times, Dave, Chicagoans aren't that very bright to begin with, so it's probably, whoa, they fixed our streets.
When you stop beating them on the head, they don't remember that you beat them on the head. Yes. They're just like, oh, it feels so good now.
It feels so good. Yeah. I love you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah.
So the election that we're in the midst of is the state and county elections. You can vote now, listeners. You can vote till November 2nd for early voting. Have you voted yet?
Yes, sir. I voted.
As have I. And the final election day is November 4th. Right after that, we'll swing into municipal elections, which take place in February.
Yes, sir.
Mayor
Alderman,
and Alderman
and mayoral.
But today we're talking about your article that appeared in The Reader on October 23rd, 2014, titled Another Election, Another Round of Mixed Up Democrats.
Ah, yes.
You take a look at the glossy pre-election mailing put out by the Cook County Democratic Party. Specifically, you talk about the candidates recommended on this mailing, which I happen to have here.
Oh, you do have a copy.
And I notice...
Where'd you get the copy?
They sent it to me.
Just
like they
sent it to me. Your copy's different. I didn't have... That's a different mailing.
Notice that they are different. The one
you're
there's a picture
liar.
Of the one pictured in the Reader, which I guess is yours.
Yes.
Uncredited photo by your wife.
Yes.
Is different. It just shows a photo of County Board President Tony Preckwinkle, whereas mine has Tony Preckwinkle and Attorney General Lisa Madigan.
Once again, reacting to an article that I wrote, the powers that be in an adjustment. So I made
you
fun of them.
You think they turned around that quickly?
Yes.
That redid
they
their
go,
mailing?
Quick, Ben wrote something.
Interesting.
Here comes the Ben alarm.
Well, you note in the article that the name or the face of the most powerful Democrat in Illinois, House Speaker Michael Madigan, doesn't appear in the mailing.
No, he does not. Yeah.
I should mention that he's running unopposed in the 22nd Representative District.
You can write in someone, I'm sure. Let's see where that gets you, as they say.
Another face not shown on the mailing is that of the chairman of the County Democratic Party, Joe Berrios, who is also running unopposed for county assessor, and whom you say, quote, has replaced Todd Stroger as the Democrat most disliked by other Democrats in Cook County, end quote. Do you want to explain that?
Yes. As you know, I was struck by the fact that it's one of my favorite little themes of the mid-O's. When Todd Stroger, the late O's, I should say, when Todd Stroger was the president of the Cook County Board, there was general outrage on the north side of Chicago among reform-minded voters that such an obvious non-reformer would be running county government. The same people who were outraged by Todd Stroger were loyal voters of Mayor Richard M. Daley, who is every bit the non-reformer that Todd Stroger is, probably more, since he had more power, and he effectively ran Cook County government as well, because his brother, John Daley, was the budget committee chairman. So I just wanted to point out the inconsistency of Chicago Northside voters who are outraged by patronage abuse, etc., not traditional Chicago Democratic government when it was practiced by Todd Stroger, but were loyal supporters of the same thing when it was practiced by the boss, Richard Daley. And then those same voters turned against Joe Berrios once Todd Stroger was out of the picture. They, of course, loyally voted for Forrest Claypool in the race for county assessor.
Why is he the most disliked, though, at this point? Like, among whom?
Well, I'm thinking mostly of my beloved Northside liberals. Berrios, I don't know if he ever reached the level of unpopularity Stroger had. The notion that Forrest Claypool could run a third-party campaign and defeat him was based on the assumption that since Berrios is widely unpopular on the north side of Chicago, he's widely unpopular everywhere. And of course, that assumption was not actually established in the election when Berrios defeated Claypool, who was trying to take advantage of the anti-Berrios sentiment on the north side of Chicago. So I'm sort of tweaking north side voters here.
We're talking to you, Northsiders.
Mm-hmm. You deserve all the tweaking you can get.
I'd like to talk about Dave McKinney.
The great Sun-Times reporter.
Former.
Yes. Did I mention him in this column? I can't recall.
You did not.
Okay.
You do note in the article that the Chicago Sun-Times has endorsed the Republican candidate for governor, Bruce Rauner.
Yeah.
The company that owns the Sun-Times, called Rapports, also owns your paper, The Reader.
That is correct, sir.
Mr. Rauner is a former owner of Rapports, and the company's CEO is a former business partner of Rauner's. The Sun-Times endorsed Mr. Rauner 3 years after saying it had stopped giving candidate endorsements, and 4 days before its Springfield bureau chief, the aforementioned Dave McKinney, resigned. And he criticized his bosses for succumbing to pressure from the Rauner campaign. The pressure, McKinney says, resulted from a Sun-Times article that McKinney co-wrote that made Rauner look bad. I mentioned this story to a friend of mine, and my friend said, well, isn't that typical of the media, that they succumb to political pressure like this all the time?
And who's your friend? Amy Goodman? Who's this unidentified friend?
And I was like, well, I'm sure that happens,
yeah.
But in the current sort of Sun-Times and Tribune milieu, I hadn't believed that beat reporters and investigative journalists were getting leaned on to, you know, quash stories or to inhibit what they wrote. And so this was a shock to me and to many people. What do you think?
Well, before I launch into this, let me just say this. Up to now, so far, I must report that the people who own the Reader...
Rapports.
Yes, Rapports. Have never put any pressure on me. And I've been writing exceedingly critical things of our beloved mayor, Rahm, the most powerful man in the universe, and who's probably every bit as much a crony of all these people as Rauner is. I'm happy to report that. So having said that, this was a really a low moment for pretty much every journalist that I know in town. It was so obvious that Rauner had far more clout with the hierarchy than he should have.
You mean of Rapports?
Yes, of Rapports. First of all, the notion that the Sun-Times would change its editorial policy of not endorsing at the last moment just invites this kind of scrutiny and criticism. If your policy 3 years ago was not to do endorsements, you should stick with it. You shouldn't change it, in my humble opinion. When your former business partner is running for governor, it just looks bad, if nothing else. Secondly, he'll win the election or lose the election without your support. Thirdly, the editorial, oh my God, the editorial was just, I don't know if you actually read the editorial.
I did.
I sometimes think I'm the only person in Chicago who reads newspaper editorials. And I read the Tribunal one as well, and the Crane's Business one as well, and the Daily Arlington Heights one. And then there's another one I read, I think, in Bloomington. And they seem to be written, all of them, from the same crib sheet. So I'm beginning to wonder if Rauner's campaign didn't just like mail these things out to newspaper editorial boards. They all have followed a certain pattern, which to lavishly praise the business acumen of Rauner. First of all, number one, and I think most people in the Chicago area would agree with me, that what we want from government is different than what we would want from the corporate head of a company that we're stockholders in. If we were stockholders or shareholders in a company, we'd probably want the CEO to maximize our profits, no matter what pain that causes the employees of the company. We're not looking out for the employees. In fact, I would go so far as to say many shareholders couldn't care less about the larger implications to the environment, to world peace, of whatever their corporate heads do. They just want to make more money.
You just summarized Western corporate behavior.
Okay, there you go. So I do not believe that most people in Chicago would want that same attitude from their government. Their government is there to supposedly provide services like the ones we just joked about before. Rahm's finally getting around to paving the streets, all right? Rahm's finally get around to funding our schools, or at least not cutting our schools. We're having an election coming up. So there's things that we expect from government, the services that we want government to provide, and the issue of making money is not incumbent on part in the mindset of most voters. So this notion that we would want a great businessman running our government the way he runs his company is an absurd one, I think, from the mindset of most voters. Secondly, of all the businessmen in the world, Rauner, I mean, is definitely the most controversial in the way he runs his company. As you know, he runs a company that buys and sells other companies. So they're in a business, really in the business of stripping down the company that they sell to make the most money when they sell it. If that means pain to employees or customers, so be it. It's all about the bottom line. It's not exactly General Motors at its heights creating thousands of jobs and building an economy of scale in Detroit or Flint. So I just thought that the editorials that all these newspapers wrote, not just my beloved Bright one, all these newspapers were as though they were written by the Rauner staff and ignored the essential choices that the public is facing. So, yes, your friend is correct in that there's generally a disconnect between the editorial voice of the people who own newspapers and the opinions of the people who buy those newspapers, which is particularly the case in Chicago. And that's why I always joke that I'm the only one who reads editorials, because by and large, people don't want to read something they disagree with.
What do you think about the integrity of Sun-Times reporting at this point?
I think the Sun-Times reporters have a lot of integrity. And I note that the Sun-Times, since the embarrassment of that editorial, many of their columnists have written columns denouncing Rauner, poking fun at Rauner, or supporting Quinn. I'm thinking of Neil Steinberg wrote a column supporting Quinn. Mark Brown's written at least two that I can recall where he strongly criticized Bruce Rauner. Danny Mihalopoulos, who I think is an outstanding reporter, wrote a column that was critical of Rauner. So I think that the paper has done a good job, by and large, of allowing its working journalists to do what they do. I think that the shenanigans of that editorial, there's no correlation between what the reporters have done and what that editorial represents. Now we get to the whole Dave McKinney thing.
And just to clarify, the editorials you're talking about were the ones endorsing Rauner.
There were two editorials. One, as I recall, came out on a Saturday in which the editorial board or whoever wrote, I don't know who wrote it, said, I know 3 years ago we said we were never going to endorse candidates, but now we're changing our mind. Okay? Stay with us to see that first endorsement. And then the next day, Sunday, they endorsed Bruce Rauner. Actually, it was probably the paper came out on Saturday, so it was probably a matter of hours between the two. Those two editorials coming at the same time the Dave McKinney affair erupted to public knowledge was very disheartening for most journalists that I talk to, most journalists that I know, not just Sun-Times writers. And I'll say this again, I'm a big fan of Sun-Times writers. I've invited them to the first Tuesday show. I think they do a great job. I'm still a big fan of my beloved Bright One. I get it every day, but that was a rough weekend, to put it mildly, for not just me as a longtime writer in this town, but as a reader of newspapers and a believer in newspapers. Just, you know, you really got to keep corporate away as much as possible, in my humble opinion, from the workings of a newspaper. I believe that.
So the McKinney affair, the quashing of his reporting, to you, that's just icing on the cake.
Yeah, the two editorials back to back, and then the McKinney affair was icing. It was just like a tire cake that was rancid or something. So can a cake be rancid? I guess
yeah,
the icing could
you
be
leave
rancid.
It out in the rain.
Yeah.
I don't think I could take it, though.
Yeah. Who sang that song?
I don't remember.
MacArthur Park, Richard Harris.
Tell him what he wins. Nikki, tell him what he wins.
I get something. I came up with that. Now for 10 trivia points. Name one Richard Harris movie.
The King and I.
No, that's Yul Brynner.
They look so much alike.
Anyway.
Let's go back to the election. Not appearing on the ballot in the current election, the November election, is a citywide referendum on an elected school board. You wrote about this in an article that appeared in The Reader on October 16th, 2014, titled, Rahm Decrees, No Elected School Board Vote for You.
What a city.
Wherein you wrote how Mayor Emanuel's city council allies managed to outmaneuver the alderman who wanted to put such a referendum to Chicago voters in the current election.
It's not hard to outmaneuver them when you have all the cards and you control everything. It's not like they're smarter than the other guys, you know.
So maybe he was just out going straight.
Yeah, just plowed them over plowed is right more there, likely, yeah.
And to our listeners not vested in this subject, Chicago's public school district is reportedly the only one in the state whose school board members are not elected.
That's correct.
They're appointed by the mayor. In your other article, the first one we were talking about, the one about the Democratic Party mailing, you observed that the mailing recommends to voters a long and baffling list of judge
yeah,
candidates
<that's> true.
who are endorsed by the Democratic Party.
Yes, yeah.
You write, quote, "It almost moves me to call for the appointment of judges, except that would contradict my position on the Chicago School Board, which in my view clearly needs to be elected," end quote. A couple of things about this. First, here's some info from the American Judicature Society, which compiles, quote, "comprehensive information on judicial selection processes in each of the 50 states," unquote.
Yeah.
According to the society, two-thirds of the states and the District of Columbia select some or all of their judges using what's called the merit system. In other words, appointments as opposed to elections.
So Bruce Rauner would get to appoint judges. Or Chris Christie would get to appoint judges.
Well, I think we see a good example of the kind of mechanism that's used by looking at the website called voteforjudges.org, which allows you to look at the local bar association's ratings of judges who are running.
Yeah.
So there are some professional criteria that they use that you, the voter, could also use, which I take into the voting booth with me.
Well, here in Chicago, as my father likes to point out, and this is his line, not mine, it's like a Soviet-style system. There's not even people voting against them, so you could bring all the recommendations you want into the booth with you. You know, you could like bring, you know, the municipal code if you wanted into the, not that would help you pick a judge. If you don't have an alternative, like if there's nobody running against the judge, then...
I believe they have to get a majority. In that case, they have to get a majority of the votes cast.
Are you sure about that?
I'm not sure, but...
Okay. Well, what the hell? Let's just say it
then
anyway.
Then why vote for them?
That would be correct. You have come to a great realization about our system.
So we're...
And then there's the yes-no. Like, you vote yes, vote no. It's like, that truly is like Soviet style, I believe.
At least it's a choice.
Yeah, well, no, the Soviets had a choice, too. That you could vote yes or no for Leonid Brezhnev. Funny how he always got 99% of the vote.
So presumably if a candidate gets more no votes than yes, then he gets booted and somebody has to be appointed in
his
place.
So if you really took this seriously, as you seem to, and God bless you for doing so, then you would check up to see whether in the opinion of these professional lawyers, I guess that's repetitious.
Or redundant.
Redundant, yeah.
Or oxymoronic. I shouldn't say that. I have good friends.
No, that's really cold.
That's not
come
nice.
Come on, some of my best friends. And some of the experts, let's put it that way, some of them don't deserve to be retained, so you should vote no. I must confess to you right now, I did not do that sort of preparation. I just didn't vote for any of the judges unless I knew them personally or knew of them. And it was a handful. I think there was somebody's name I liked that I voted
for. So you're probably not unique in that respect.
No, I take my chances. God forbid I have to go before a judge. I'm just hoping he or she is a good one or fair one.
So it calls into question the whole reason for voting for judges.
That's correct.
It seems to me that judges aren't supposed to represent voters. They're supposed to represent the law, or if you like, interpret the law, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to something like a school board, which you elect because it represents the school district's constituents.
That is correct. That's a good distinction.
My point is that not being for the election of judges isn't necessarily in opposition to being elected for a school board.
That's a great point you made, and I'm going to steal from it and use it all the time without giving you any credit.
You got to give credit, man. Just think about your wife. Yeah, you put that uncredited photo, man.
Uncredited photo.
Yeah.
Potatoes taken off my children's plate. That's true, Dave. That's a good point. I would just go one step further that most likely this being Chicago, if we were to go to an elected school board, and this is sort of the pessimist in me, the process would largely be controlled by the most powerful political bosses we have in town. So that effect would probably be the same, that the all-powerful mayor, in this case Rahm, would still control the entity, but at least we would have the appearance of a democracy, and sometimes that matters too. Don't you agree?
I don't know if I agree with that.
You don't agree? But we should just take away the appearance?
But at least if you allow the people to make a choice, there's a chance that there'll be some representation
Absolutely.
Going on.
Yes. So I'm for elected school boards and I'm for elected judges. The fact that I didn't do my homework, my due diligence to study up as you did on the judges shows that I only get a C+ for voting. Although on the other hand, in my defense, I actually strayed from the party fold in this last election to vote Green in several instances. So don't I deserve credit? Bonus points
for that? Did you vote Libertarian in any instance?
No, I did not vote Libertarian. I proudly cast my vote for Patrick Quinn for governor, and there was a Libertarian choice on the ballot. But, you know, I've always been sort of a fan of Pat Quinn. I don't agree with him on everything. He's always been a very practical, pragmatic politician.
Ben, that's all we've got time for. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, David.
Listeners, learn more about Dave McKinney's resignation by reading Michael Miner's October 23rd piece on the Reader's blog. You can learn more about merit selection of judges at the website judicialselection.us and find out the Chicago locations where you can vote early in the November election by going to chicagoelections.com. I'm Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.